Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Travis Cronin. You're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood podcast. I am joined by only one of my co-hosts, coming from the lovely sunny city of Miami. It is Gwen Flamberg.
Oh, hey, guys. You know, somebody's got to look at the palm trees. It may as well be me.
It should be you, Gwen. Well, honey, we have a lot of celebrity news that has happened this week. We have wrongful deaths, engagements, feuds, even more royal feuds that I cannot wait to talk about, and much, much more. But of course, let's start every episode with Gwen Flamberg. What story made you go, whoa, this week? What celebrity gossip story just stopped you in your 5-inch heel tracks, your wedges in Miami, and just made you go aghast?
Exactly right. I was going to say, well, I did go whoa in my flats because I was on the beach watching this. It was a birthday celebration for Chanel No. 5, which, you know, is a celebrity cult favorite fragrance fronted by Marilyn Monroe, Nicole Kidman, Gisele Bündchen, Keira Knightley, and now Marion Cotillard, and of course, our favorite, Kristen Stewart, who is the face of Gabrielle fragrance. So to celebrate the 100th birthday of Chanel, this is why I'm in Miami, they did this drone show that literally like lit up the Miami sky with like all sorts of, like, there was the Chanel logo and of course the double C logo, but also the camellia flower, which is very significant in Chanel designs. And I mean, a 600-foot tall perfume bottle. I went, whoa. And also, you know, celebs like Dylan Penn, Alana Haim, I think they were going, whoa, right along with me because they were there. So that's what made me go, whoa. It's sort of personal, but it also was, you know, the celeb story that I've been following this week while I've been here in Miami with Chanel.
It is so wild what they can do with drones. When I was at Coachella, they did that. And at Joe Biden's inauguration, they used drones. They are really getting it together with those little flyby lights to create something amazing.
Sophisticado.
Muy sophisticado.
What made you go, whoa? And guys, if you want to see all of the images from that light show, go to usmagazine.com/stylish, because of course we had the exclusive and broke the news.
Smash that /stylish. Well, what made me go whoa this week? I'm shocked on so many levels, Gwen. Lindsay Lohan is engaged.
I can't believe it. That was going to be my whoa, but you know, I thought we were going to talk about it in depth. The ring is only worth $150,000, which, you know,
that's a lot of money
for me to get engaged. But you know, for these celebrities, like, I believe Paris Hilton's ring was like worth $1 million. And you know, remember when Paris and Lindsay were inseparable?
Yes, and then bitter rivals, and she called her fire crotch, and you know, they've had a very tumultuous relationship. Well, Lindsay Lohan is engaged. It had to be my woe. His name is Badar Shamas. She got a traditional oval style ring, which you alluded to, and she posted on Instagram and said, my love, my life, my family, my future. Now, she has been living in Dubai for a long time now, several years, maybe 8 or 9 years. And she has fallen in love. Now, little is known about this guy. I have tried to find so much about him online. I've had so many people ask me about him. He does live in Dubai, so that's where they met. His LinkedIn page says he is the assistant vice president of an international wealth management at Credit Suisse. Before joining that Swiss bank, he worked with some of the world's richest people. He worked for BNP Paribas, one of the largest French banks in Kuwait and Bahrain. And then he moved to Dubai and has kept a low profile. Lindsay Lohan is, of course, slated to be in a holiday romantic comedy released by Netflix. Court Overstreet from Glee is going to be in there with her. She is launching a new podcast to share intimate conversations. So while we do know little about this guy, it seems like, you know, he's doing really good for her because she has some things to show for it. Gwen, what are your thoughts on this ginger engagement?
I was really happy about it because I, along with the rest of the world, saw her post about it and she looked really happy. But more than that, she looked like normal. She didn't look kind of over the top, crazy, trying too hard, like all those things that she became sort of infamous for during kind of like her fall from Hollywood Grace. So she seems, listen, if this guy can center her, this is the year, right? This is the year.
This is the year.
Celebs getting centered, and I like it.
He's in finance. He's a finance bro, maybe not even a bro, but in finance. So, you know, not in Hollywood, not in media, not in entertainment. I don't know. He looks like he likes her, but again, there is so little we know about this guy, and we are doing our best to dig into it. But, you know, he's a finance guy, Credit Suisse, used to work for a French bank, lives in Dubai. That's about all we got right now.
Listen,
so
we know, you know, when she moved to the Middle East, you know, we knew that she was looking to kind of jump out of Hollywood, and it seems like she succeeded.
She did, but back in Netflix, I'm just so glad she's acting again.
Yes.
People were saying that this is the year that the Holy Trinity was healed. Paris Hilton married, you know, Lindsay Lohan engaged, and Britney Spears free, you know, soon to be engaged, married babies. The Holy Trinity has healed themselves, and so shalleth we, said, I think, the prophecy written in a, you know, in Us Weekly in 2006. Let us move on to the royal news of this week, Gwen. I am shocked by this. Shooketh. Well, let's start with, you know, the pink elephant in the room. Oh, what complexion pink will it be, Gwen? Just horrified. So there is a new book called Brothers and Wives by Christopher Anderson that alleges that Charles unwittingly triggered a rift with Harry and Meghan, who is, of course, biracial, after asking his wife, Camilla, what do you think their children's complexion might be? Now, a spokesperson for Charles called this account fiction. Harry and Meghan have not commented on it, but a highly placed Palace source told us, you know, I think people on both sides of the Atlantic and the family are united in agreeing they don't want to give this book any more oxygen because it was obviously a horrible time for all of them. But, you know, the cat is out of the bag, and it seems like a lot of really well-placed sources are saying that Prince Charles, which we sort of thought might be the case, was the one who asked what Archie's skin complexion would be before he was born.
Well, this is not exactly like a bomb being dropped, because that bomb was already dropped during that CBS tell-all. And I think at that time, you know, even Harry and Meghan were very vocal that it wasn't Queen Elizabeth and it wasn't Prince Philip. So, you know, I think everybody assumed that it was Charles. And of course, you can imagine Charles saying this to Camilla. And whether or not he had any ill intentions, which I'm not sure that he did, it's sort of a question that one would ask. And certainly if you were Charles, you would ask this, not surprising. But still, you know, to bring up race is just in bad form, and it is against well-mannered behavior. and a royal should be mannered above all else. So, and also just, you know, a good dad. How about that? How about just being happy for your son and kind of, you know, not really making race a part of the conversation when it pertains to your grandchild?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, who cares what skin complexion this guy is at all? It just does not need to be brought up. And the fact that it clearly, you know, if he did say it, that it got back to Harry and Meghan, it must have upset them, like shook them to the core. But we have some new information, Gwen, about these two, Charles and Harry. As we know, Prince Charles has not seen Harry in almost 8 months, but they are back on speaking terms again, sources tell us. The pair saw each other in person at Prince Philip's funeral in April, and Charles, who has spent the last several days in Barbados as it becomes its own republic, has yet to meet his granddaughter, Lilibet, who was born in July. We heard from sources that Charles was hugely hurt when Harry and Meghan dumped it on the family that they were giving up their roles and moving abroad, an insider told us, referring to Meghan and Harry's decision to, quote, quit the family. And the insider admitted, I don't think it's all roses. It's not like they're sitting down to a heart-to-heart on the phone once a week, but they are speaking. Now, this new book can't help things. Harry was, of course, as you mentioned, brutally honest about his thoughts about his father during their interview with Oprah back in March. He claimed that his brother William and his dad were trapped because of their roles and said Charles had left him financially bereft. Financial accounts released this summer showed that Charles continued to support Harry and Meghan after they stepped down as senior members of the royal family, spending $6.3 million on his sons over the past year. But in May, Harry alleged that Charles expected him to, quote, suffer, and adding that he was handed down a cycle of genetic pain and suffering. Harry says, just because you suffered, it doesn't mean your kids have to suffer. That doesn't make sense, he said on his Apple Plus docuseries, The Me You Can't See. Now, we heard that they will both be traveling for the Jubilee celebration later this year. They won't be there for Christmas, sources are telling us. But, you know, I guess we'll see what happens between the two of them. The Platinum Jubilee will be in June, of course, around the Queen's birthday, 95 years old. So they're expected to see it there. Harry and Meghan and their children are expected to be back for the celebration. And of course, that Harry loves his grandmother very, very much.
I wish that they would go for Christmas. You know, the Queen's Christmas brunch is always a very big deal. I'm not quite sure it will, you know, go off as it did before the pandemic, because the pandemic is still going on and Omicron is quite serious, especially in the UK. But, you know, let's just say she's not getting any younger. And I would hope that they will spend ample time together, right? Maybe the death of Prince Philip kind of sparked a little bit of a reconciliation between Harry and his father. Maybe, we shall see. You know, I think that Harry and Meghan wanted to say their piece, and they did. And now perhaps they are rebuilding the relationships.
I sure hope so. I sort of get that Meghan Markle doesn't want to go back after all the crap she released and all this stuff about her child's skin complexion getting low. She's like, you know, I married into this family, but I haven't known this GMA for a long time. She's like, you know, all she knows that she's a controversial figure in the UK. And I feel like her presence, you know, she knows that her presence would just bring a lot of stress to everybody in the royal family. So as much as I think, you know, be the bigger person and go, I also think she knows it's not going to be good for anybody. So I sort of hope that Harry just brings the kids for Christmas maybe and goes by himself, introduce the kids. Then Meghan comes back for the Jubilee, which I think is a better place, you know, a celebration for there to be a little less controversy. So many royal members will be there. And of course, all eyes will be on Meghan, but a little bit more diffused than, let's say, at this Christmas brunch.
Exactly.
Oh, but rough. And, you know, we all just still hate Charles. So, you know, that's just really something we can all bond over, I think, that he seems pretty unlikable.
Ah.
Well, let us move on, Gwen, to our favorite emo couple in the whole world. Yes, that is MGK and Megan Fox. Mom. And ironic that their song was called, his song that she was in the music video was called Bloody Valentine, because Machine Gun Kelly recently recalled a moment that he accidentally stabbed himself while trying to impress Megan Fox. So he was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and he says, this was also right when I started to date Megan. He prefaced the story. He was wearing a t-shirt with Megan Fox's face on it, just in case you were wondering. It was just a bad night, he continued the preface. He explained that his pal Travis Barker had gifted him a knife engraved with the title of their 2020 album, Tickets to My Downfall. Now, MGK, who, if you need a reminder, his real name is Colson Baker, said he threw the knife up towards the ceiling in front of Megan Fox. And when he tried to catch it, it went through his hand and then showed Jimmy Fallon a scar he had from the incident. He says this was from where the knife stuck in it, because, you know, I throw it up and you're supposed to catch it? ? I looked at Megan Fox and I was like, check this out. And then I was like, and things apparently got even more embarrassing for MGK when he had to face the music. The next morning, as soon as she left, I was like, yo, I need stitches real quick. He remembered. Megan Fox and Kelly have been open about their love together, and it seemed to work out. But Gwen, have you ever heard of the trick of throwing a knife towards the ceiling and then catching it when it goes down? Am I just out of the loop?
I have never had a new date who wanted to impress me so that they threw a knife into the air and tried to catch it. But, you know, something tells me that old MGK isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. You see what I did there? Do you see what I did, Travis? I will tell you, though, speaking of MGK and his hand, MGK is coming out with a nail polish line. Did you know this, Trav?
No.
Lover of nail polish and manicures that you are. Yeah, guys, go to usmagazine.com/stylish and read all about it.
I loved his chain decals. I hope he gets some 3D printed stuff instead of just polish colors, but I know that's a big pipe dream.
But did you see Harry Styles nail polish?
Yes, I did. It was very cute.
It's out now. Yeah, it's really gorgeous. It wears really nicely too.
Good. It looks very Olive and June colored. I thought the colors remind me very much of their pastel colors. Gwen, you are in Basel, where Virgil Abloh, legendary designer, creator of the brand Off-White and creative director for Louis Vuitton for the past maybe 4 or 5 years, has sadly passed away with battling cancer privately, not telling anyone. He was 41 years old. And, you know, tell us what the vibe is in Miami with all of his celebrity friends there. They threw this big tribute for him. I mean, what really a beautiful legend.
They did a drone show as well, spelling out, you know, Louis Vuitton. And also, of course,
Virgil was here,
which I thought was really beautiful and really amazing, especially being in the sky. I just, you know, I've always really admired and respected Virgil because his designs have taken a designer that was like not really for the masses, and he democratized fashion. Virgil Abloh really will go down as one of the masterminds of, you know, street style and democratizing fashion. And I just think that it is so incredible that he suffered in silence for so long, but yet I understand when people choose to do that, it's like, you know, nobody will think any differently. Everybody will just remember the Virgil that we all knew and loved, and all of the contributions that he brought to fashion and really to the world will always be remembered and revered.
Yeah. And he really, like, you know, saved Louis Vuitton clothes. Well, Louis Vuitton
Louis Vuitton for a new generation. You know,
absolutely.
He bridged that gap, which it's very, very difficult to do. And he managed to do that.
He did. It seems so natural how he took them to street style. He was the man behind that amazing, like, light up Louis Vuitton bag that can be controlled by your cell phone, which is so cool and such like a Louis-like gimmick that nobody had done before. And celebs like Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, anyone famous you've ever known, Hailey Bieber, of course, he designed her wedding dress.
Yeah.
He sure did for Off-White, which became like a legendary thing all in itself. And his power still radiated after his death, because he brought Kim and Kanye back together when they are having a very, let's say, unique time right now, Gwen. So they both attended the Louis Vuitton show where Virgil and Miami Art Basel, where Virgil was honored. But they have been having some really strange back and forth. So Kanye West was at a charity gala screaming to get Kim back when it had really nothing to do with the charity gala. He posted a photo of them kissing, saying, "I want my wife back." And meanwhile, Kim Kardashian is just trying to live her best life, trying with to get Pete that Davidson. New with Pete Davidson, just trying to get that new jump on somebody else. And Kanye is saying he wants her back, wants to create his family together. I mean, I get that they're a public couple, so a public declaration of love makes a little bit of sense. But I mean, Gwen, what do you think about Kanye, you know, trying to get his soon to be ex-wife back in this very odd format?
You know, I just don't know what to think with those two. Like, I just never know what's real and what's not real, you know, what's right. not real. And I do understand when somebody passes away, I think that it kind of underscores mortality and things that are important to you. And if anything can create change, it's losing a friend. Mm-hmm. So who knows? I mean, maybe there is hope for these two, but Kim Kardashian seems pretty into old Pete D, you know?
She sure does. And these declarations of love happened before even Virgil passed. That gala that he spoke at first was pre-Virgil. They've gotten worse since this. But I can't imagine what they were like at the Louis Vuitton show in Miami when they were, you know, sitting next to each other. North was there. So they were co-parenting. I mean, a strange Akko Taco Tuesday situation for Miss Kim Kardashian West. Yeah. When you're trying to co-parent with, you know, the father of your children, your ex-husband, and he's posting things like, "I want you back," when you moved on. I just can't even understand that level of uncomfortableness.
Well, yeah. And it's like putting it out there for the fans. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's like these relationships should be worked on privately. But, you know, of course, we know with those two, that's not going to happen.
Well, that is very true. And when there is another couple that is on again, maybe on again from being off again, very high profile, I'm talking about Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk. Bradley Cooper was talking to Entertainment Tonight at the release of his new psychological thriller movie, and he talked about Irina and their co-parenting. He said, "It's very special." Irina Shayk was with him at the film's release. They both attended the event, but did not pose together for photos on the red carpet. A source told us that, you know, she spent Thanksgiving with him. They didn't spend the night, but they spent Thanksgiving with them and their four-year-old daughter, Leah. And they went to see the Nutcracker together with Anne Hathaway and her husband. And, you know, we've seen them walking arm in arm in the street. It seems like they're getting back together. Otherwise, they are the nicest, friendliest co-parenting people ever, taking each other's arm, attending movie premieres together. Possible, but I feel like they're back together.
With those two, I think that they have a really unique relationship. I think that they are really committed to co-parenting, and they've done an incredible job with that. It seems to me like when they're in the same city, they spend a lot of time together, but I think that they're partners. I think they're partners in life. I don't think that it's romantic, but I'm just judging that based on the two of them and all of their past relationships.
All right. So fair enough.
Who knows? Fair enough. Yeah, but also she was last tied to Kanye, and maybe, you know, they want to be seen by the paps. I don't know with those two. It's really interesting. I'd love to see them back together, but I don't think that that's the case.
I would maybe Kanye, you know, ignited his jealous fury on Bradley Cooper and has driven them back together. We can only hope.
Possible.
Let's move on to, did you see the Alec Baldwin interview that happened this week? Oh my God.
I was watching clips of it this morning. My heart goes out to Alec Baldwin, because I think that this situation is not just obviously something that could be damaging to his career, but it's, you know, it seems like he has taken it really to heart very emotionally. However, I feel like in the interview, he was a bit defensive and a bit, it comes off that he, that there's denial there. And I don't know. I would like him to express a little bit more remorse, even though, of course, it was not his fault. There may have been sabotage on set. That's what it seemed like to me from the very beginning. But at the end of the day, this incident happens and he was a part of it. So, you know, to say I don't feel guilty is, I don't know, guilt is a human emotion when something happens, whether or not you meant for it to happen, but there's a negative outcome. I think everyone experiences guilt. So I think there was a little bit of denial in that interview, but I hope that it all works out for Alec. I hope that he acts again. I'm not sure that he will.
Oh my God. I agree that you're right. He seemed, but that's like sort of our Alec, right? He is angry and defensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this instance, this was the time for him to put his ego aside because of the magnitude of this incident.
I sort of got the feeling that his anger was stemming from his inability to deal with the fact that he was part of a sad chain of command that ended someone's life, and that he was sort of fighting against that overarching sadness with classic Alec Baldwin rage. Yeah. But, you know, let's go through some of the highlights of this in case people didn't see it. Alec said on his interview, someone put a live bullet in the gun. A live bullet wasn't even supposed to be on the property, he said in the interview. Of course, this is his first since the fatal accident. He says, someone is responsible for what happened, and I can't say who that is, but I know it's not me. Now, he was emotionally visible a couple times and broke down a couple times in the 1 hour interview as he discussed the shooting. He described the moments leading up to the shooting as he and the sad woman that died, Sophia Hutchins, worked together on capturing the best gun angle for a scene which he claimed he was never meant to pull the trigger, only to cock the gun back. The actress said he was assured the gun was a quote cold done by the assistant director, Dave Halls, who handed him the weapon. As Baldwin and Hutchins practiced their different motions and angles for the shot, the gun fired, although he never pulled the trigger. I let go of the hammer, which I assume is that cocky part up top. Bang, the gun goes off, Alec said. He could not believe he possibly could have shot her. No one could understand. Did she have a heart attack? The idea that someone put a live bullet in the gun wasn't even in reality. She just kind of laid there in shock, he said, before the responders arrived. Now, the shooting occurred on the same day that several crew members walked off the set for purportedly unsafe and subpar working conditions and made demands such as better hotel rooms. Alec said, in my opinion, no, I did not observe any safety or security issues, he said, of the time on set. Now, the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, who was working, it was just her second film of being in charge of training actors in gun safety and handling weapons. Her attorney claimed that there is a possibility that a bullet was intentionally placed in the chamber to sabotage the film, which Alec denied, as have investigators. He says, that's a big swing. That's an enormous change to make. For what purpose? To attack who? To harm me? To production? It's overwhelming. It's overwhelmingly likely that it was just an accident. Now, he says, I'm not somebody who has very vivid dreams, but I constantly dream about this now, he said. So just a sad story for all.
Super creepy. There was something dastardly going on that set. And I hope that investigators figure out what happened there, because it's something was going on there that we need to know about for sure. And of course, I mean, I feel terrible for Alec, because of course, like something like this, of course you would replay it over and over and over again in your head. How could it have gone differently? There is nothing as final as death, and it's super sad.
It is very, very tragic. I'm not a ghost person, but it seems like there is some bad juju all up on this set. They need to get some holy water up in there. I mean, it's just bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. Gwen, do you know what it's time for now?
Oh my gosh, what?
It's time for Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania.
Already? I'm so excited. You know I love to box.
I know you love to box. Well, we only have one round and then a championship ultimate boxing round.
Oh my.
So Gwen, okay. It is obviously to you. We have one of my favorites, Christina Applegate is 50 this week. Versus someone who self-identifies as the best, DJ Khaled, of course, native to your Miami, where you are 47 years old this week.
This is a tough, tough, tough match. And even though he describes himself as the best, I think that DJ Khaled is a true gentleman. And he would want Christina Applegate, genius actress, breast cancer survivor, he would want her to win. And he would just bow out of the match.
And you forgot founder of the Pussycat Dolls in her garage. Love her so much. And, you know, I think we should just take a moment to remember that Snapchat story that DJ Khaled gave us when he was lost at sea off of Miami on his jet ski. And then the lights went out and he said he was scared and someone came and rescued DJ Khaled, luckily, but he was trapped at sea on a jet ski. Well, Christina Applegate, survivor, founder of the Pussycat Dolls, has emerged at 50 years old. But Gwen, there is a new competitor emerging from the left side. And it's Britney, bitch, who is 40 years old this week, of course. So Christina Applegate, 50, versus Britney Spears, 40 years old. What you think?
I think that it's going to be a forfeit. I think that Christina Applegate is just going to give it up to Britney because I'm sure Christina, like Cher, and everybody else is just so thrilled that Britney is free and she's going to want her to be the winner so that she can live her best life in freedom.
I completely agree. And well, thank you to my host, Gwen Flamberg, and the spirit that we can see around of Sarah Huron. She has a British accent for some reason because she's in London, but she will be back next week for helping me spill all this piping hot celebrity this week. Again, this is Travis Perna, Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood podcast with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. After all, Gwen, what are they?
They're just like us.
Wow, turns out Sarah was our problem. That was amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back next week.